I need a safe space. Trigger warning. To protect my feels from people who disagree with me because I diversity talents multiculturalism. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space. You can shove your opinion up your ass that way Obama's cock has something to keep it company. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. That's how it's going to go down. Greetings, my friends and my enemies. Thank you for the applause. I am the great one himself. I'm the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 11 years. And this right here, this is Stating the Obvious Podcast, the weapons platform in which I launch the cruise missile on my intellect and holds in on and destroys stupid motherfucking status all around the world. As all you little fucking filthy ass statists are standing out there going, but he's gonna build roads. My cruise missile of the intellect, it just comes in, impacts, explodes, you're all dead. You don't need any fucking roads because dead people don't need roads. And you would be dead. In Ancapadice, you would be dead because there would be no food stamps, there would be no welfare, there would be no safe spaces, there would be no hate crimes legislation, there'd be no hate speech, there'd be none of the things you need to keep you alive, there'd be none of the mechanisms that you have set up via statism and via democracy to keep inferior people such as yourselves alive at the expense of the superior people. Speaking of that, let me start off with this. Aaron Clary has a new book out. I think it's been out for maybe a month. And it is called Curse of the High IQ. That was a pause for me drinking a beer. What? Oh, sure, thank you. In the control room over there is the lovely and adorable Randy, reminding me just to tell you that today is the 6th of February, 2016. And if you want to send us an email, you can send that to God, G-O-D, that's dog spelled backwards, G-O-D, at cynlibsoc.com. And of course, we're on the interwebs at cynlibsoc.com and on the Twitterverse at cynlibsoc, at least until I get banned. And still on the YouTube channel still has not been banned, censored, taken down. I'm still shocked. It's only because not many people watch the videos over there, as I've discussed in a previous edition of the podcast when somebody wrote in and said, hey man, I like your shit, but your viewership sucks. And I said, you know, I don't really give a shit because it's YouTube and I'm going to get taken off eventually anyhow because some fucking social justice warrior who believes in tolerance, diversity, multiculturalism, and free speech is going to hear me talking and get offended and have me removed. Anyway, speaking of idiots and dealing with idiots, back to Aaron Clary's book. It's available on Amazon.com. You can get it in paperback. I'm looking at it right now on the Amazon.com. Paperback is $12.52, and the Kindle version is $3.99. I'm debating if I want to just break down and actually buy the paper version. Maybe I'll just get both. If you buy the paperback version, or if you buy the hard copy, don't you get access to the Kindle version, or am I thinking about something else? Anyway, that's not what we're here for. Whoa, what's this? I got the book, Social Justice Warriors Always Lie by Vox Day. I haven't started reading that. I need to read that. All right, anyway, Curse of the High IQ by Aaron Clary. Apparently, Aaron has written a book about what I've been saying for years, which I'm not saying like he stole my ideas and he owes me money. I'm just saying that there's nothing There are some things. There are a few things that are more validating and exciting than... Hang on, I'm sorry. All right. Yep. No, you're right. Randy's yelling at me right now. Turn off the fucking email. I had emails coming in. I just got distracted. No, but these were goodies. These are people wanting to give me money. My favorite kind of... Because, see, I create value for other people. Kind of like Aaron Cleary when he writes a book. This is why I don't mind giving him my money. And, yeah, anyway, I also just came off of a brutal week of theater working overnights, like going to work at midnight and going home at 7 in the morning and shit like that. And then I have another brutal week of the week you are listening to this podcast and any subsequent podcasts that come out that week. I am going to be being brutalized by the world of theater. Okay, focus. Deep breath. There are few things that are more exciting and vindicating than having Aaron Cleary write a book, which apparently, I haven't read the book yet, but apparently from the blurb, echoes the things that I have been saying for years. So here's what it says about on the Amazon.com about this book. Society, by statistical necessity, needs to focus on the majority. It needs to be built and designed for, quote, the average, unquote. Society, by moral necessity, also needs to focus on the disadvantaged and disabled, helping those who cannot help themselves. But while the majority of society's resources, attention, and infrastructure is dedicated to average or below average intelligent people, little to none is paid to the abnormally intelligent. Now, who is it that's been saying for years that the purpose of, that our society revolves around making sure the weakest, most inferior people are the ones who do the most breeding, right? We've got to give all these resources to people whom, if left to their own devices, would die within 3 or 4 days because they'd have no clue how to get food, no ability to drink water without somebody telling them how to do it. Yeah, I mean, they have no ability to create value for other people. They're all just parasites. And, you know, Cleary's putting it a little nice because, again, remember, Cleary is not an anarcho-capitalist. He is a Republican. He wants the state. He thinks there is a place for the state. And as he says here, you know, where does he write it? Society, by moral necessity, needs to focus on disadvantaged and disabled. Well, yeah, not really. No, I mean, to fucking focus all of this attention, as I've said before, the most fucking spoiled, privileged, environmentally destructive group of people on the planet Earth are motherfucking disabled people, handicapped people, to use politically incorrect, in the United States with all their fucking wheelchairs and all the money and resources devoted to building ramps for them and fucking transporting them and all this other shit. I mean, do we really need, we as a species, the royal we, is it really necessary for the species, and again, I've talked about this before recently, the difference between people who want what's good for society, which is good for the state, which is good for the inferior, which is the problem, versus people such as myself who are interested in what's good for the species, aka natural selection, right? That's that whole natural, where people who can't fucking do anything except sit in a wheelchair and consume resources, you don't have to kill them. But the idea that you should be throwing all this money at making the life of this person who just sits in a wheelchair and does nothing so luxurious and free of pain, I mean, is that really the best way to perpetuate the species? And of course it's not. Anyhow, to continue reading about The Curse of the High IQ by Aaron Cleary, available on Amazon.com. If I remember, I'll put the link in the show notes, but I mean, fucking Christ, go to Amazon.com. type in Curse of the High IQ or type in Aaron Clary. You fucking find his stuff. If I have to hold your hand through this and actually give you a link to go to the book, then you're probably too stupid to read the book. Never mind, I'm not going to put a link in the show notes. And while having a high IQ is an overall net benefit in life, being an statistical intellectual freak, I think it's supposed to mean needs a proofread. It should say being a statistical intellectual freak is not without its drawbacks. Kind of like being an anarcho-capitalist. It's got some good points, but it's not without its drawbacks. I'm not going to say there's a direct correlation between high IQ and anarcho-capitalism, because there isn't. I'm not really supposed to make this parallel. Well, if you're educated, you must be smart. Well, no, there's actually no correlation between education and intelligence, and there's certainly no correlation between high IQ and anarcho-capitalist. But there's going to be some parallels here. The same problems that plague people with high IQ, I promise you, again, I haven't read the book yet, it's going to be the same problems that plague those of us who are anarcho-capitalist. To continue reading, whether you fall asleep during class, constantly ram heads with your boss, can't understand why people watch the Oscars, are an alcoholic, or are accused of having ADD, having a high IQ can be a maddening experience. What you see, now this describes anarcho-capitalism, listen to this one. What you see as the obvious solution is what normies will fight against tooth and nail. Right. I mean, welcome to the world of anarchy. Who will build the roads? Well, probably people who own road building equipment. But oh fucking Christ, the goddamn normies, as he calls them, cannot fucking comprehend the idea. It's just, whoa! Their tiny little fucking brains. The idea that anything could happen without the government. They can't fucking figure it. The idea that people could marry each other without government permission. Well, fuck, we can't have that, can we? The normies just can't wrap their tiny little brains around it. Your D's you keep getting in English? Your superior mind being held hostage by the boring and inferior mind of your teacher? And you'd like to start a family? Good luck finding an intellectual equal for a spouse. Again, another problem for anarcho-capitalist. Good luck finding a spouse who's not going to suck the cock of the state. You know, especially if you're a man. Any woman out, I mean, if you're a woman and you're looking for an ANCAP-oriented man, it's not that difficult. If you're a man looking for a woman who doesn't want to be married to Obama and doesn't want to date the corporation, dude, you're fucked. You are completely fucked. And so while the world obsesses with their own problems, or the rightly so, the problems of the disadvantaged. Yeah, see, there's the statism creeping in, declares the world. The world is obsessed with the problems of the disadvantaged. Why are they disadvantaged? Oh yeah, because the state bred them in the first place. Again, if you remove the state, you're not going to have all these disadvantaged people because they're not going to be born. Right? You're not going to have all this poverty because without the state to give the welfare mothers all this money to make babies, there won't be a bunch of welfare mothers making babies. I know it's so fucking hard to understand for you normies out there. No one is paying. Yeah, blah. Oh, let me just choke to death and die right here on the podcast. And some people are going, yes, that would be great if you choked to death and died. It's okay, because I feel exactly the same about you. No one is paying attention to the problems of the abnormally intelligent. However, all that changes now with Curse of the High IQ. Curse of the High IQ is the first book specifically written for abnormally intelligent people. And I know you're thinking that group probably includes you, but it probably doesn't. I should say, you're thinking that group does include you. I promise you, the statistical odds of you being abnormally intelligent are fucking tiny. It identifies and addresses a litany of problems intelligent people face, as well as analyzes them and provides solutions. But more importantly, it aims to bring sanity to those who struggle with abnormal intelligence, especially those who are unaware they have it. So yeah, there it is. I'm looking down here. The book itself is going to be a godsend. Blah, 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 blah. I'm just looking at the reviews to see if there's anything interesting here. All right. Nothing worth pursuing at this time. There's only 3 reviews so far. So anyhow, there it is. Curse of the High IQ by Aaron Clary. I suspect it can't be a bad book. I've never read anything by Aaron Clary that was bad. So it's going to be a good book. Okay, moving forward. With another drink of beer. Moving forward. Last couple of cast, I've been talking about the upcoming race war, which is so desperately desired by the left-wing statist social justice warrior type people. Which brought me to, why are the left-wing statist social justice warrior people so hell-bent on their own destruction? Because as I pointed out, when the race war finally happens, they are going to lose, right? They're anti-gun. They have the government on their side. And, I mean, that is something. That is definitely something. But when it escalates to all-out war, I think they're ultimately going to lose. Well, that's another topic that I would probably need to meditate on more, too, before I form a harsh, cold, realistic opinion on it. So ignoring the outcome of the race war, let's get back to why the left-wing statist social justice warrior wants the race war so bad, and why they want their own destruction, and why they don't value their own existence. And I talked about that a bit previously, but I want to talk about it more in depth, because I've done some more thinking on this. Thinking, for those of you who are statist, thinking, when I use terms, you don't know what they are. I should try to define them. See, thinking is when you use your brain to examine concepts for logic and philosophical soundness and consistency. It's kind of like what you do whenever Obama says something and then you just believe what Obama says, because Obama could never say anything that isn't true because he's black and he's a Democrat, except the difference is that when somebody says something, I automatically assume it's a lie until I find some sort of objective empirical evidence that supports whatever came out of their mouth, which is why I don't believe anything Obama's ever said. Anyhow, enough smartassness and fucking around, and let's just get into this. Left-wing statist social justice warriors do not have a sense of self-preservation. Here are the reasons I think this happens. Actually, I have notes here. Shocking, I know. The left-wing statist social justice warrior doesn't see people as individuals. They see people as animals which exist only to serve the greater good. This isn't only their view of others, it is their view of themselves. As I choke to death and die again. The left-wing statist social justice warrior, like all people, okay, so let's start here. I believe, oh no, I just said that I believe, and remember, when somebody says I believe something, that means they have no empirical evidence. Okay. It's difficult to not talk like one of them. And I tried to avoid doing that. Here's the deal. Human beings all desire to be a part of something greater. This is simply a fact. If you look at yourself, if you look at other people, people want meaning in their lives. And part of having meaning in your life, and this goes back to why, well, God, see, this is another cast I need to do, because I have asserted that all statists are hateful, evil, stupid people. I've also asserted that all people, given the opportunity, are good, that they are good to other people, that we are social animals, that we want to coexist with each other. And those two pieces of commentary are at odds with each other, and I need to reconcile those, and that's something I'm working on doing, and I want to do a podcast about, because I think it is very important. Because this ties in here, so let me come at it from this direction. Everybody, every person, human beings are social animals. We want to coexist with other people. We want to form societies and bonds with other people. We want to enjoy the company of other people. We want to work with other people to create things. All of that is part of the act of creating something greater than ourselves. And to have the desire to interact with other people, to cooperate with other people, to create value for other people, to be independent within interdependency, to be interdependent with other people, to form the society, to have the family, to have friends, to have a job, to build bridges, to build the roads, and all this other stuff. For all of that is the desire to be part of something greater than you are, and to be part of creating that. Setting aside sociopaths, all people have that desire. Now, in an anarcho-capitalist society, in Ancapidice, each person would go about through their life seeking to create this something greater and to be part of it. They would do that by forming friendships, forming families, forming ventures with other people to, you know, build bridges, build roads, write computer software. They would do this by writing books, by making films, all sorts of different ways that they would go forth and say, I am going to become part of something bigger than me, and I'm going to help create that. Now, it's this aspect of who humans are that the state exploits. Statism comes along and presents people with something bigger that they can be a part of. The state, the government, the corporation, the college, all of these are entities that the individual can immerse themselves in and then say, oh, look at me, I'm part of something bigger. And the social justice warriors, this is why so many people flock to all of this shit like diversity, tolerance, multiculturalism, because they're desperate, because of human nature is that we want that. They are desperate to be part of something greater than them as an individual. But they don't have the ability, the intelligence, the fortitude to create something bigger than themselves. And so they go out and they seek something bigger than themselves that they can simply mindlessly enter into. Right? There's this whole mythology in our society about black people overcoming racism and becoming equal. Except, of course, they're not really equal, because God, if they were equal, then there'd be no more racism, there'd be nothing to join. And this is not saying there wasn't racism and not saying black people did not overcome things. They did, that's the point. And there was this greatness that was happening then and there. The average millennial right now today, being unable to create any greatness of her own, wants to piggyback upon this greatness, this larger thing that was created by these people back in the 60s and 70s and whenever all of this may have happened, in the 50s and so forth and so on. They want to become part of that greatness because everybody recognizes that greatness, and it doesn't really require them to do any work, right? This is why racism cannot die, because there is a lot of people whose identity is tied up in, well, we're fighting racism, we're combating racism. They want to be part of something greater. And there's all of these movements. There's all of these fictions that they can latch onto. And there's a healthy balance, the Aristotelian mean, which exists in most things I've talked about a lot. There's this healthy balance between being the isolated individual and being a part of, a component of, this something greater. The social justice warrior, because as an individual they recognize they have no real value, they don't have much intelligence, they can't create anything, they have nothing to offer the world, they throw themselves into this battle against racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, patriarchy, all this other stuff. That is their identity. And they throw themselves into this. And if you take this away from them, they are nothing. And this is why, no matter how much better things get, there will never be an end to racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, patriarchy. In fact, you know, more and more isms and phobias and shit will be invented. Because without those things, the left-wing status social justice warrior loses all meaning. As an individual, they have no meaning. They have no purpose. They have no reason to exist. And they know this. They know their only reason to exist is to serve this greater thing. Now, there are other greater things you could serve. Again, you could form a company. You could write computer software. You could write books. You could build bridges, you could do, there's all sorts of things a person can do that will allow them to become part of the greater good. But most of the, well, not most, anything you can do to become part of the greater good, ooh, how do I say this? Anything you can do to become part of the greater good, which is actually productive and solves problems, first of all, it requires talent, it requires skill, it requires abilities, which social justice warriors don't have. But the other problem is, becoming part of a greater good, which solves a problem, means reducing the incidence of that problem. And the dangerous thing about reducing the incidence of a problem is that if you reduce it enough, you put yourself out of a job. You eliminate the need for the organization, the group that is providing the solution. At which point, you have to be able to go and do something else. So your average, and they are very average, left-wing statist social justice warrior, again, they have no talents, they have no skills, they have no abilities, they have very limited intelligence. They're basically just parasites. They don't have anything to offer the rest of the world. And this is why they gravitate towards social justice warrioring. Because standing around saying, I'm against homophobia. I mean, you don't need intelligence to do that. You don't need talent. You don't need any kind of skill set. And because everything is homophobia, homophobia will always be around. So this provides them with a group identity. It provides them with something larger than themselves, which isn't going to go away, and they can always cling to it. It's always going to be there for them. And as a part of this, they are acknowledging that they have no individual value. They have no individual worth. They have no individual merit. And so, to come back to the impending race war, they can keep over and over and over antagonizing all the people in our society who actually do produce and create things, namely heterosexual white men with jobs and a small number of white women. You know, they can keep antagonizing and attacking and provoking them because these people know that on an individual level, the left-wing statist social justice warrior knows that on an individual level, her life has no meaning. She has no value. She's never added anything to society, and she never will. She is nothing but cannon fodder for the social justice warrior movement. And she knows it, and that's why she doesn't value her life. And this mechanism, this desire, this need to be part of something greater, as I said, this is what the state hijacks. This is how the state gets people to, for example, join the military and go to other countries and kill people, right? Because especially young men want to be part of something greater. They want to create, they want to do stuff, they want to have camaraderie. And if they don't know how, and they don't have the ability to create those things in their own lives in ways that are beneficial, they're going to seek that out. And the state will, of course, very readily provide those avenues. Again, as I've said before, can you imagine if all of the effort, all of the machinery, all of the gasoline, the oil, the food, the water, the money, the transportation, the manpower, the clothing, the computers, if all the resources that went into the war in Afghanistan were directed towards providing electricity for villages in Africa, which, as I talked about in the previous edition, of course, we don't want to do that because part of the agenda of the left-wing statist social justice warrior is to kill the black people in Africa. That's why they're so adamant about birth control in African countries that have black people in them, and that's why they're so adamant about preventing villages and cities in Africa from getting electricity. And they, of course, they do both of these under the guise of global warming and overpopulation, but the actual agenda there is getting rid of black people. Because that's the thing, you want some, if you're a social justice warrior, you want to have some black people around so that there's somebody to be racist against so that you can accuse all white people of racism, but they don't want to have a lot of black people around because social justice warriors don't really like black people. Right, they talk about racism and they talk about discrimination and shit, but as I've said before, you follow them home, they all live in affluent white neighborhoods. I forgot how I got down that avenue. So I know where I was going, so let me just try to go there again and see if I don't get distracted. The state provides this avenue, right? Young men want to build things, create things, do things, yada, yada, yada. And so we have this society where starting a business is next to fucking impossible. You gotta have permission and all this other shit. There's all these restrictions on where you go, what you can do, and you can't have any kind of organization or activities unless you include women, because then you're fucking, sexist and all this other stuff. And one outlet that is out there for young men to go be part of something larger is the military. Again, I was in the military myself, spent 3 years there, and I acknowledge that there are a lot of things that were great about it. I learned a lot. I had camaraderie with other men. I learned things. I was challenged, all this other stuff. And it's... So there's all these components of being in the military that were great for me. Made me a much better person. Because, God, I was a total fucking pussy before I went into the military, and I was still something of a pussy when I came out, but it got me further away from pussiness. So there are certainly great components of the military. But now, what if instead of the state, and not just the United States, but all the states, I mean, all of the states, we all have their militaries, they're all like fighting in Afghanistan. What if instead of all these states, what if there were no states? So what if there were no militaries? So there was no politician in this part of the planet and another politician on this part of the planet sending all of these people to this third part of the planet to kill each other, to be part of something greater. What if all of that, because again, human beings left to their own fucking device, nobody except for the sociopaths and the politicians and the lawyers, but I repeat myself, nobody wakes up in the morning thinking, I want to go kill some people. People wake up in the morning thinking, I want to do something great today. I want to be part of something. I want to create something. I want to meet some new people. I want to learn a new skill. But nobody wakes up, again, other than politicians and lawyers, nobody wakes up in the morning going, gosh, man, I really want to go fucking kill some people today. Nobody wakes up thinking that. Well, okay, and some social justice warriors. If you remove the state, you still have that same desire from the individual person, but now, without the state to protect them when they kill other people, because again, you're in the military, you go over here, you blow something up, you kill some people. First of all, the state is giving you all the mechanisms to do this. Second of all, the state protects you from the ramifications, right? In Ancapadice, if you want to firebomb a city, well, first of all, you have to make enough money to buy an airplane. Then you have to make enough money to make some manufacture fire bombs. Then you have to get some people and pay them to fly the airplane, unless you can make the airplane where you can do it all yourself. Then you got to go over there and drop the fire bombs. And then you got to put up with the repercussions. If they find out who dropped the fire bombs, they come and they kill you, right? The state isolates you from all of that. Well, of course it's okay for them to kill people. They're in the military. Oh, well, so you're in the military. Now all of a sudden killing people is okay, and of course expected. And so they become this part of something greater because the state provides all the resources, the state shields them from the consequences of their actions. And they become part of something greater, which happens to involve the destruction of other people's creations and the murder of other people. Now, if you eliminate the state, you don't have the military, you don't have the politicians giving them permission and the mechanisms for all of this stuff, you still have the desire to create greatness. And so, you're standing there and you say, I want to create something greater. You can say, well, I could go firebomb a city, but that would cost me a lot of money. I can't really make a profit doing that, and I'd have to face the consequences of my actions. What else could I do that would allow me to be part of something greater that's perhaps in the process going to make money for me and make people appreciate my existence instead of wanting to retaliate against me? And of course, that would be the process of creation as opposed to the war, which is the process of destruction. And so instead of saying, I'm going to firebomb a city, you would say, I'm going to write some computer software that people will pay money for. Or you could say, I'm going to build a bridge over this river and then charge people a dollar to go across the bridge. Or you're going to say, I'm going to go out and I'm going to shovel snow off of people's sidewalks and charge them $10. The state creates an environment in which people who desire to be part of something larger can engage in the destruction and murder of other people and be protected. When you remove the state and when you get to Ancapadice, you have an environment where those things are no longer encouraged, subsidized, and protected, and as a result, the desire of people to be part of something greater will, by necessity, be channeled into creating things that are useful, creating things that are positive, creating things that create value for other people, creating things that result in the creator being appreciated and admired and respected. Part of what set this off in my brain, I'm going through my comic book collection, I'm reading some of my old comic books, and there's this series, it's called The Red Star. They have a website, theredstar.com. And it takes place in an alternate universe, or the alternate Soviet Union, where witchcraft exists. And the artwork is very good. And the story is mostly good, but it is a very statist story, of course, because everybody says it's all about the Red Army, and you know they're killing other people, and yada, 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 and there's all this patriotic, oh, we're going to serve the Soviet, except it's not called the Soviet Union, it's called the something, something, the Red Star. Anyway, there's a lot of very stirring, patriotic blah, blah, which is very well written and sort of makes the point. Again, the people wanting to be part of something bigger, and they latch on to the state because they just don't have anything else they can latch on to. Let me read this to you. I'm going to read this part. It is an incredible thing to witness the end of an era, to see everything you believe in the... So, it's great artwork. However, in this part, they have red text on this brown background. There's very little contrast. It's hard to read. Once I get through this first paragraph, it'll get better. And these are the thoughts of one of the characters as she's watching the Sky Furnace fleet be destroyed. Sky Furnaces are, essentially, they're like aircraft carriers or battleships, except they float up in the air. And no, they don't have helium balloons or propellers. It's magic. And it's visually, it's a very striking comic book. With this, again, very statist, but very visually striking. It is an incredible thing to witness the end of an era, to see everything you believed in devoured by flames, to have the hopes of your nation fall to the earth in a twisted wreck. When that twisted wreck is a sky furnace full of thousands of your countrymen, it is the discordant agony of their screams, the choking stench of their burning bones, that makes you realize what a fool you are to have ever believed in your nation's leaders. All the leaders of the world, they are all liars, petty lords with petty schemes. Our belief in them forms chains we cannot see. Phantom shackles of servitude that make us their willing slaves, their loyal thrall. And while we think we are free, we are not. But our leaders must have us believe we are, because the perfect slave is the one that believes he is free. On the battlefield that day in Alazan, I witnessed firsthand what happens to such slaves when the schemes of their masters fail. And indeed, in the book, you know, they're sent to this foreign country to bomb and kill and yada, 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 and their fleet gets wiped out and they all die. And all of this is because there's all these people. Huh? You're shitting me. No way. Oh, God damn it. I'm not even off the first fucking point yet. How can the podcast be almost over? Oh, God. I've got to learn to fucking talk faster. Well, apparently we're going to get to points 2, 3, and 4 later on. I'm okay with that, though, because, and also I was actually going to do in a podcast just devoted to, and apparently I just did it. I was going to do a podcast devoted to this notion of the human desire to be part of something greater and the way in which the state hijacks and circumvents that. And again, they do, right? The politicians, they come out and they say all this shit and people are just like, oh, wow. Oh, Obama, you're so wonderful. Oh, Ron Paul, you're so awesome. You're going to make everything. Oh, Donald Trump, I'm creaming myself thinking, oh, Bernie's, oh, I'm feeling the burn. I feel the burn. The inferior people, the people who in Ancapadice would die because they would not be able to provide their own food, shelter, clothing, they are easily hijacked by the state coming forth and providing this something greater which they can immerse themselves in. And they do this because they cannot on their own create something greater. This is why the left-wing statist social justice warrior is so attracted to, like a moth to a flame, attracted to all of this tolerance, diversity, multiculturalism, racism, sexism, homophobia, transphobia, yada, yada, yada. Because it's that they need to be part of something great. They need to feel like they're doing something, but they have no individuality. They have no creativity. They have no intelligence with which to participate in the creation of this greater something. And as I said, being part of the social justice warrior movement, it requires very little effort. I mean, you can be part of the social justice warrior movement by just liking things on Facebook and retweeting things on Twitter and reporting people on Twitter who have an opinion you don't like. That's all you have to do. It requires no serious skill set. It requires no intelligence. And these people see themselves only within the context of this something greater. And whether they overtly or covertly understand that they have no purpose outside of their service to the movement, I'm not certain. I think there's probably some in each camp. And this is why they don't, part of why, there are more reasons, which apparently are going to be covered in another podcast. This is part of why they don't value their own existence. They don't have a sense of self-preservation. They also don't feel the need to, despite all their shit that comes out of their mouth, they actually don't feel any desire to coexist with other people, right? If you want to coexist with other people, you don't constantly attack them for having opinions that are different than yours. That's not how you coexist with other humans. The fact that the social justice warriors think that coexisting with other people means passing laws to control what they say, means banning their fucking speech on social media, means hunting them down and doxing them and attacking them in public and protesting when they're going to give speeches in places and making death threats and bomb threats against institutions that are going to let these people come. That is not what coexisting with other people looks like. But the social justice warrior doesn't understand this, because the social justice warrior has no concept of individuals as individuals. Everybody to them is simply a cog. Everybody to them is part of this greater mechanism, and it's all about serving the greater mechanism. They don't understand the concepts that individuals exist, right? Everybody is, they're all their person of color, or they're transgender, right? And there is, you can't categorize people, and yet they spend their entire existence categorizing people. Oh, you're a white man, you're part of the patriarchy, you're privileged. Oh, you're transgendered, so people are transphobic against you and you're oppressed. Because again, I say it, they say shit over and over and over. Without these labels, without these categories, as soon as you stop looking at people as categories with labels on them, if the minute you regard every human being as being a unique individual, you cannot have racism, sexism, homophobia anymore, because you can't discriminate against a group of people if there's no such thing as groups of people. If every person is a unique individual, you can't discriminate against a particular group of people, because groups of people don't exist anymore if you look at all people as individuals. And the social justice warriors see themselves, again, as one of these groups, because they have no individual identity, no individual talents, no individual skills, no individual capacities. That's why they submerge themselves in this greater good and are perfectly willing to do whatever the greater good wants them to do, even when providing for the desires of the greater good means pushing them closer and closer to the impending race war. There's two groups of people who are right and people who are wrong. That's how I'm looking at it.